Turn to 103C. That's what we'll be singing in a few minutes now. And every time I look at this chapter, it's as though I've heard parents say once in a while, now say thank you to the man, or say thank you to the lady. And I don't know that there's any better way for people to learn to say thank you than to have somebody tell them to say thank you. And I believe that's what God's doing here in this chapter here. It may be that the easiest person in the world to fail to say thank you to is God. Because we're always on the receiving end and there's just so much of it and we just never quite get around to saying, thank you, God. I thank you. But this man begins, and I'm going down to 103C, by getting himself out on the palm of his hand and sort of looking at himself and talking to himself a little bit. If you've never done that, God's word says you ought to do that. Bless the Lord, my soul, my whole heart. He's talking to himself. He's saying, you ought to do that every once in a while. Just talk to yourself about blessing the Lord and thanking him. And God says, furthermore, I'll go ahead and prime the pump a little bit. I'll tell you some of the things you can thank me for. He's doing the writing. God's doing the writing here. These are some of the things you can thank me for. Bless me with a whole heart and bless my holy name and forget not all the mercies to proclaim. And then down there in the little number three has to do with the King James versions of the verse numbers in King James. Because he forgives you. He says, I do forgive you, don't I? That's good reason for thanking me and blessing me. Because I forgive all your transgressions and because I heal all your diseases. I didn't have appendicitis, but I had diverticulitis, and they heard about the same. And he says, I do the healing. I do the healing. And furthermore, I redeem you from all destruction. I crown you with loving, and there in stanza two, with love and mercy. Every time I think of being crowned, I think some of the older fellows used to come along and crown us every once in a while from on top. It wasn't a case of laying a wreath of some kind. He just hammered us on the head. Well, God just sort of hammers us on the head sometimes with his love and mercy. And he satisfies my mouth with good things, and he renews my youth. Charlotte yesterday was wishing that she had just a little more moisture in her body. And she's limited. The doctors have wisely limited her on that. But she was saying, oh, if only I could have a little more to drink. A little more to drink. He delivers me. He executeth just judgment. And God says, now these are just pump primers to tell you why I am to be blessed. And you can think of these things in your own life. But now we come to 103C where we're singing. And let's read that. Let's just read it all together. Stanzas 9, 10, 11, and 12 of 103C. And then we'll sing it in a few minutes. For our frame he well remembers that we are but dust, he knows. As for man, like grass he rises, as the flower in field he grows. Over it the wind now passes, in a moment it is gone. In the place where once it flourished, it shall never more be known. But Jehovah's loving kindness unto them that fear his name from eternity abideth, to eternity the same. And his righteousness remaineth to their children and their seed, who his covenant remember, and his precepts hear and heed. This was the psalm that James Renick sang the day he was executed in the grass market. In Edinburgh. He was just 19 when he saw a man killed. A man by the name of Donald Cargill, right there in that same grass market in Edinburgh. That's where they did their killing, their executing. He was 19 when he looked on and he saw that man, Donald Cargill, and he had a tremendous respect for Donald Cargill because Donald Cargill wasn't being executed just because he'd killed somebody or done something bad. He was executed because he loved Jesus Christ. He was giving his life for Christ's sake. And Renick, a little bit like the Apostle Paul, when he saw Stephen being killed, couldn't get that out of his head. He was 19 years old. But he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. And so he committed himself at that point. There was something here more important than life. And he knew that to become another preacher, as Cargill had been, of the Covenanters out on the moors of Scotland, that could sign his death warrant and sign it very quickly. He says, I want that. And so he left for Holland that same year. He was 19. And in Holland, in 6 months, he covered the entire program of education necessary for becoming an ordained minister. And he came back and began preaching. And it was in 1683 that he preached his first sermon back there to the Christians who were spread out all over Scotland. They couldn't go back into the churches. They just had to meet out on the moors in what they called conventicles. And he preached his first sermon in October of 1683, and he got away with it until January of 1688. From 1683 to 1688, that was about the life expectancy of a man who committed himself to the explanation of the gospel message in those days. He was captured in January of 1688, and he was hanged in that same grass market on February the 7th in 1688, just a month after he was captured. And he sang these words. For our frame he well remembers that we are but dust, he knows. As for man, like grass he rises, as the flower in field he grows. Over it the wind now passes. In a moment it is gone. In the place where once it flourished, it shall never more be known. But Jehovah's loving kindness unto them that fear his name from eternity abideth, to eternity the same. And his righteousness remaineth to their children and their seed, who his covenant remember and his precepts hear and heed. And we've always looked at that and said that's the covenant that God made with Abraham. I will be your God and you shall be my people. That was what God said to Abraham. But when God put that vision into his heart, he realized that there was a vision that was too much for the parents to carry out. Too much. Dad and mother aren't going to live to carry this one out. It's too much for one generation. So I'll pass this on to the next generation. And the next generation pick it up. And they don't resent. They don't resent it. No, they enjoy it. Furthermore, they enjoy telling other people about it. And it also applied to those old covenants, the Solemn Lincoln Covenant and the National Covenant that the Scottish people had gathered themselves together because they saw God making that kind of a covenant with Abraham. They said, well, if God likes to do it, then we ought to do it with God and with each other. And so they had written those other covenants. But when Renick sang those words there, he was the last one they caught and killed. And he was just a young man, 19, 1688, and then killed just a few years later, who his covenant remember and his precepts hear and heed. This is the vision of the covenants, where God builds into the heart of a dad and mother, seven of them, builds into the heart of a dad and mother a vision that's too much for them. And it's going to take the children to carry that on out into the next generations. It's too much for any one couple. And so they pass it on to the children in the next generations. It's worth dying for. It's worth it. Just as you said, it's worth it. Let's rise to sing 103C.
This tune is relatively new, and we're asking our deck tet here to sing the first two stanzas for us, and then we'll sing the entire selection.
For our frame he well remembers that we are but dust, he knows. As for man, like grass he rises.
We thank you for letting us in on it. In our generation yet today, we thank you for letting us in on that promise that you made to Abraham way back there in the Old Testament times. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Thank you for allowing us in on that. And we thank you, too, for causing us to know that this promise and this good news, this gospel message, is more than what any one generation can carry out. But that rather we can be joined together with Abraham and all the others, the generations before us, fathers and mothers or grandfathers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers, that we can be joined together with them, and that our children and children's children will carry this same good news on into future generations after we're gone. God, thank you for letting us in on this. We thank you now for bringing us together in your house today, just for the blessedness of the invitation to come to your house today. Thank you for the promise that your word would never go out and return empty void, but it would always accomplish precisely what you please and prosper in the thing which you sent in it. Thank you for the promise that whenever we come unto you asking in prayer, you will hear and you will respond. Thank you for the privilege of giving to that same purpose for which you gave your life on the cross, and for the privilege of giving praises to you. So God bless every part of this worship service, the giving and the praying and the singing and the thinking together through your word. Now bless Rich as he opens that word this morning. Out of the overflow of his heart and of his life, bless us and just change us. However you'd like to see us changed, just change us. And cause us to know as we leave here a few minutes hence that we've been in your presence, and that our children's children and generations to come would likewise be in your presence, communicating to future generations the same good news that you'd given to us. Thank you, God, for the blessed privilege of being in your house today, singing to you and praying to you and giving and thinking your thoughts after you. In Jesus' name, amen.